WBAI New York. We're at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. The previous program, What's Going On with Bob Henley, is a radio rewind from yesterday, Monday at 7 a.m. Right now, it's 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, and coming up next is What's Going On with Frenchie Davis.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me,
sister,
with brutality,
sister.
Talk to me,
sister,
so you can see,
sister.
Oh, what's going on?
Good morning, good people. What's going on? It is January 24th. Technically, we are still celebrating the entrance of 2023. And I enjoyed my time last week as we discussed the weaponization of anti-Semitism with Kevin Koval. I think it was a very enlightening show, and we look forward to having Kevin Koval join us again. So please return to our archives to check out that interview. Also, this morning, you know, I love we time. So I'm going to say that it is just you and I. And I always make sure that in every month that I create a segment that you can call in, and it's just you and I, and we hash through some of the social ills that we face every day. So this is a we time morning. And this morning, let's have an analysis of the movement in Florida, in Texas as well, but we're going to focus on Florida by Governor Ron DeSantis to dismantle African American studies. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has opposed education practices that he argues with absolutely no background in cultural studies whatsoever. He argues to take an unduly critical view of America's history and its relationship to race. And last year, DeSantis prohibited educators from teaching critical race theory in grades K through 12 classrooms, even though critical race theory is taught on the collegiate level in law schools. That is where critical race theory is taught. But he had to, you know, he had to look to the future and ban it for K through 12 in Florida. And part of this bill, he said, would put an end to corporate and educational indoctrination in Florida. My dear Ron DeSantis, you are very late if you wanted to stop indoctrination in schools. You are generations late, millennia late, centuries late. And even though critical race theory is a law school level education program that is not taught through K through 12, Ron DeSantis is building his political platform on discouraging the empowerment of Black people. Now, this advanced placement African American studies course for high school students was part of a pilot scheme at 60 schools across the country administered by the College Board, which oversees advanced placement, curriculum, and classes. So there's already, you know, board professionals, students, parents, educators in place to make these decisions. Now, I see the comparison and mirroring of Ron DeSantis to former Governor Orval Fulbus of Arkansas State. Now, do you remember Orval Fulbus? You should remember. Let me recollect your memory if you do not. Orval Fulbus of Arkansas State became a national figure as governor September 2nd, 1957, when he called out the Arkansas National Guard to keep 9 Black students from entering Little Rock's all-white Central High School. History is repeating itself. And as school curriculums continue to go unchecked with revisionist history of people like Christopher Columbus and South African apartheid and the genocide of Native Americans. I remember history books that used to say that, you know, Native Americans, they just disappeared off the face of the earth. We don't know what happened. We have Christian religion. I went to a all-white, all-girl high school and was required to take 7 semesters or 7 courses of religion. Talk about indoctrination. So this is what we're going to talk about today. Why are we still depending on white education institutions to teach a global history, a balanced perspective, critical thinking? Do we need these school systems? Is this problematic? Or is this just to remind us that you cannot use the master's tools to dismantle the master's house? This is what's going on today. I'm your host, Frenchie Davis, this Tuesday and every Tuesday morning. I'm excited that we're going to have some wee time and we're going to unpack and analyze this crisis, because believe me, it is a crisis. So join me. My phone lines will be open. Get ready, 212-209-2877. But first, let's hear a little national news. And also, this morning, I guess I should give out a little weather. Are we prepared today? Because I'm like, what are we doing, Mother Nature? What are we doing today? Mother Nature is going to be, I would say, generous with us. Look, there's still no snow. It is 45 degrees, cloudy skies. We can manage that. This evening, though, it would be 31 degrees, partly cloudy. Winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. So I think Mother Nature has been quite graceful with us. So we will thank her. I will thank her now. But again, we are going to head over to some national news. And then we're going to discuss the overturning of not just African American studies, but what do we do about revisionist history in this day and age where so much information is at our fingertips, but what is not at our fingertips is the truth. Here's a little national news. Take a listen.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
If we delay this, if we have short-term extensions of the national debt, we run the very risk of a recession in this economy.
Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says tax cuts for America's wealthy were enacted under the Trump administration, and now the GOP needs to pay for them. The Treasury Department initiated so-called extraordinary measures last week after the House refused to act on raising the debt limit. Economists say the U.S. could lose 6 million jobs and nearly $12 trillion in household wealth if lawmakers can't reach a deal.
As President Trump put it, the vice president and enough members of Congress simply needed to summon the courage to act. To help them find that courage, the president called for backup.
January 6th committee member Representative Stephanie Murphy of Florida described the tweet sent by former President Donald Trump, which rallied far-right extremists to the Capitol. Now, four members of the Oath Keepers group have been convicted of seditious conspiracy for plotting to forcefully keep Trump in power. An Arkansas man photographed sitting at former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's desk was also convicted of 8 federal crimes.
Even though the people I represent pay the highest federal taxes per capita in the United States, they don't have equal rights with everyone in the United States.
For more than 3 decades, the District of Columbia's non-voting delegate to Congress, Eleanor Holmes Norton, has championed efforts to grant statehood to the nation's capital. On Monday, Senator Tom Carper of Delaware announced he'll try again. The bill most recently passed the House in 2021, but has not yet passed the Senate.
It took over 187 minutes to make that simple statement. Something wrong with that.
Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi describes how long it took Donald Trump to tell rioters at the Capitol to go home and said the former president engaged in conspiracy to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Lawmakers want to make sure anyone connected to January 6th can never hold public office. Lawmakers in states like Virginia, Connecticut, and New York have proposed legislation to prevent insurrectionists from holding positions of public trust, such as police officers, judges, and even teachers. Representative Maxwell Frost of Florida says the most recent mass shooting in Monterey Park, California, was preventable.
Every time someone dies because of gun violence, it is a policy failure.
Another victim of the shooting has died, putting the death toll at 11. President Biden ordered flags be at half-staff at federal sites through sunset Thursday. A new Siena poll released Monday shows 59% of registered voters in New York want Representative George Santos of Long Island to resign. Santos has been assigned to committees in the House, despite having lied about his education, career, and ethnic makeup. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Thank you for that national news. Welcome back. This is What's Going On. I'm your host, Frenchie Davis, this Tuesday and every Tuesday morning. If you are just getting the sleep out of your eyes, I know you don't want to, but we are here today. It's going to be a beautiful 45 degrees this evening. 31 is our low, but we're going to listen. So far, no snow, no rain. I think we can navigate this together. But what we also have to navigate, how do we ever find the truth in a political and legislative system that is so diligent about withholding the truth? I mean, America is diligent about withholding the truth, right? This is merely a microcosm of what we are facing right now. As we get into this topic and our phone lines are open, I said that this is going to be a we day. We're having a we day because it is us who have to change things, not the politicians. You know, you get the world that you fight for. So this is us that are going to fight. I would like us to take a moment to listen to Governor Ron DeSantis as he talks about his decision to unpin this AP African American Studies class. Not any other nationality that has been unpinned this way. You can learn Spanish language, you can learn Chinese language, or Mandarin, you can learn anything except for when it pertains to African American people. So let's take a listen.
We're here today because we believe in education not indoctrination. We believe an important component of freedom is in the state of Florida is the freedom from having oppressive ideologies imposed upon you without your consent, whether it be in the classroom or whether it be in the workplace, and we decided to do something about it. So the bill that we'll be signing here today provides substantive protections for both students and parents to ensure that the education they're receiving in Florida is consistent with the standards of the state of Florida. And those standards do not allow pernicious ideologies like critical race theory to be taught in our K-12 schools. We are not going to use your tax dollars to teach our kids to hate this country or to hate each other. We believe that every single student matters, every single student counts. We are not going to categorize you based on your race. We are not going to tell some kindergartner that they're an oppressor based on their race and what may have happened 100 or 200 years ago. And we're not going to tell other kids that they're oppressed based on their race. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't succeed in this state. Everybody can succeed.
Oh, I'm as I have listened to this through the week, I hear, I mean, they're not even dog whistles at this point, right? We're used to this country should be used to the blatant racism. I'm just curious, you know, all of those people who joined the march and the protests during the death of George Floyd, like, where are you now? Where are you now to speak out? Because this is an educational lynching, if I've ever heard one. Ron DeSantis says, you know, we're not going to teach our kids about what happened, you know, 100 to 200 years ago. He doesn't even know when this country began to embark on having enslaved people in this country. He said 100 to 200 years ago. He said he believes in a component of freedom. What do you mean by component? A component of freedom? A component of freedom for whom, I wonder. He says he's against oppressive ideologies, and yet he's oppressing African-American studies. He believes in substantive protections consistent with his standards. And he says that he will not use tax dollars to teach children to hate this country or each other. Oh, our tax dollars have went much further than that. Much further than that, Governor Ron DeSantis. So according to the College Board website, advanced placement lets high school students try college level work, which requires critical thinking, with exams contributing to college credit and placement. However, in a letter dated January 12th from Florida Department of Education office, this is according to Newsweek, the course was rejected to what it said were issues with this content, even though the curriculum has not been shown. No one has seen this curriculum. No one has seen the syllabus because it is not completed. But in its current form, the College Board AP African American Study course lacks educational value and is contrary to Florida law. If the course comes into compliance and incorporates historically accurate content, isn't it funny how we want historically accurate content now? The department will reopen the discussion. And in a separate statement, DeSantis Deputy Press Secretary Jeremy Redfern said that the course is, as it is, lacks historical accuracy, even though he has not seen the course, and educational value. And since no history in America has ever been historically accurate, I'm wondering, why do we have these challenges now? So our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877. Again, 212-209-2877. You cannot use the master's tools to dismantle the master's house. We're going to go to our first caller. Good morning, caller. What is your name? Where are you calling from? Good morning, caller. I'm sorry. I'm having problems hearing you.
From Long Island.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good morning.
All right. I would like to say this. The last statement you made, you cannot take the master's tool to basically break down his house. House of discrimination. House of prejudice. That is true. But I'd like to say that think of a paddle ball game. You hit the ball against the wall, it comes back to you. And that is the situation or the position that I feel that we as a people are. We know exactly what has occurred in this country because we've been here from its conception. We know the prejudice, we know the laws and what the oppressor wishes us not to know. Okay? Now, our stand is to not use his tool, but create our own tool, such as Dr. Umar Johnson, who has secured a base in Delaware where there is a African school, university of all grades, where children of African descent can go and learn their history. I don't blame DeSantis or any of the other Caucasoids for basically taking the position that they have taken because it is their survival that they are concerned with. And we should be just as strong and as determined for our survival. The Chinese go to school after public school. The Jewish have their own synagogues and, not synagogues, but universities and libraries where they will forbid you to enter 14th Street in the village. There is such a library. You can only go if you have permission from your rabbi and a note stating who you are. You have to be of the faith. So, all of our rich African in this country who have made it, either honestly or dishonestly, take your monies, put it together, open up your school after school, your reverends. Let them.
I so churches. Agree, caller, and thank you so much. And just so that we are aligned with the facts. Mr. Umar Johnson did not open that school. He actually was required to do a cease and desist for asking for donations because he was not appropriating those funds properly for the school that he claims. And while I do agree with his desire to manifest educational programs that are centered around our youth. He is a very problematic figure in so many ways. And he's a complex man. We have to take the good with the bad. But I'm concerned about promoting someone who has misappropriated funds for a very good cause and creating schools that center our children's education. And that is any culture. That is if you are Filipino, that is if you are Native American, that is if you are Jewish. I believe in those educational cultural centers. But I will not promote Mr. Umar Johnson, who was referred to as Dr. Umar Johnson, who didn't even have a doctorate. So I want to be very, very careful about that so that we are not misinforming people about opportunities that are very, very important to us. But it doesn't change the fact that, yes, we have work to do. And who else is doing work? We have, you know, parent boards that are also determining the outcomes of what is in our schools. And there has been a hostile takeover with parent boards determining what's in our schools. So we owe it to our children. We owe it to ourselves to be vigilant. Our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877. Let's take another caller. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Menelik.
Thank you.
I'm an artist. I did a mural on Bedford Avenue between Crown and Carroll Street.
My old neighborhood. All
wall.
Right.
Yeah, it was a wall I did with Richard Green, the Crown Heights Youth Collective. We did a wall on history. We did jazz, we did historic, we did, but anyway, I want to try to size up certain comments. I agree with you as far as Umar Johnson is concerned, but there has been a blackout or a blockout of the history of Marcus Garvey, a man that came from Jamaica, who was an African born in Jamaica. Like I'm an African born in New York, Brooklyn, New York. We have to find another criteria instead of using the word black, because black represents color. And we need to identify the African nation or the African continent that we come from, because everybody describes themselves based on land and heritage. So if we're going to deal with a confraternity of African people, we're going to have to employ the concept of Africa for the Africans, those at home and those abroad. If we don't do that, then we're going backwards. We're dealing with the Europeans' idea of racial solidarity. His platform is white supremacy, and it has been since slavery. And you were here. As a matter of fact, they seem to block out the idea that Renaissance about the Moors going into Spain in 711. You have stores across the country say identified 711. 711 is the year that the Moors went into Spain and taught all of the knowledge, all of the sciences, all of the chemistry and all of these different things that were pertaining to history and pertaining to democracy. Black people are the ones that created the true democracy in the world. And we took it on the road. We went to China, Indochina. We went to Asia. We went to South America, Central America. And what we call America is actually Turtle Island.
I'm really feeling what you're saying. But we want to make sure, thank you so much, caller Menelik. We want to make sure that since this is a conversation with all our listeners today, that I make sure to give space to as many listeners and callers as possible. I agree with you. You know, we think of the Great Wall of China as the largest wall built, when actually it was the Wall of Benin in Africa that was the original largest wall, that was three times larger than the Great Wall of China. And yet we lack that information that instills that pride, that instills that awareness and motivation of just how much we can achieve. I agree with you. And I also think that as a student of James Baldwin, that no one says it better than James Baldwin. And we do have more callers on the line, but this would be a missed moment if we did not take a moment to hear this prophecy that James Baldwin spoke of. So our phone lines are still open, 212-209-2877. I am coming to you on the other side of this clip. Let's go. James Baldwin at Berkeley University.
What we must do to save our children. For the moment, let us substitute the word conspiracy. There is a reason. There's a reason that no one wants our children until this day educated. When we attempt ourselves to do it, we find ourselves up against the vast machinery of the system of education in this country, which is, among other things, a billion-dollar industry. And the billion-dollar industry is more important in the life of the child. Now, I want to suggest, and I want everyone to think about it. I know the machinery is vast, ruthless, cunning, and thinks of nothing, in fact, but itself, which means us, because we are a threat to the machinery. We have lived through, as I suggested, a slave rebellion. We cannot pick up guns because they got the guns. You know, we cannot hit those streets again because they're waiting for us. We have to do something else. Before each slave rebellion, there was something which I now call non-cooperation. How to execute this in detail is something each one of us have to figure out. But we could begin with the schools and take our children out of those schools. Take them off those buses. Everybody knows who thinks about it that you can't change a school without changing the neighborhood, and you can't change a neighborhood without changing the city. Ain't nobody prepared to change the city because they want the city to be white. All the American cities have gone to crumble when the white people moved out to get away from the niggers. Every crisis in every city is caused by that. How can you expect the people who cannot educate their own children to educate anybody else?
How? How can we expect a group of people to educate our children when they cannot educate their own? Good morning, good people. I am Frenchie Davis, your host here on What's Going On this Tuesday and every Tuesday morning. And we are talking about that crisis, not only the crises of education, but the crises of truth in education and the barriers that are designed to eliminate the truth. Because the truth changes things. The truth empowers people. And the truth should not shame anyone, any group. The truth should build awareness and understanding and compassion and empathy, and even more so, the truth should build unity. And the machine does not want unity. The machine does not need unity. The machine needs complacency. Good morning, good people. We're going to the phone lines. Thank you for holding 212-209-2877. You just heard a clip from James Baldwin. We are discussing today the banning of African-American studies in Florida. And let's not be fooled. It begins in Florida, and it will cross our nation. This is only the beginning. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Rose from Flemington, New Jersey.
Thanks for calling, Rose.
I just want to say this much, that you always amaze me at the quality of the intellect that is presented on your show. I grew up in Western New Jersey in the 50s during the McCarthy years. We had a sprinkling of all sorts of people along the Delaware River. And I was told by a teacher that we didn't have any slavery in New Jersey. There was only sort of south of the Mason-Dixon line and maybe in the asparagus fields. And I think the real pivotal point on when things got nutty here, you know, as it is now, was when the textbook industry moved to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it decided it was going to fix it, you know. So I think the best counter-revolutionary tool we can take today is to try to find old books. Of course, Rudy got rid of all those libraries, remember? Rudy Giuliani.
And they continue to do so. Yes, agreed.
Yeah. You know, and
it is a strategy.
Oh, it is, of course. And now with the electronic media, they can brainwash you even better than the television. So I think, you know, and to listen to Mr. Baldwin this morning, it is so succinct. Everything you do is so on target. We are really, truly blessed to have you, my good sister.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you. We here at WBAI, you know, it's a very small platform. Why? Because revolution and transformation is small, is individualistic. It is not for the masses. But for those that I can reach on this platform, I know it is because it's those individuals that make that huge transformation change. It's those, and we can look at those individuals throughout history. And, you know, I'm standing on shoulders, and I know how many shoulders I'm standing on. So I'm just grateful to have this platform and receive encouragement like that from you. You know, as Republicans and Democrats fight for control of Congress this fall, you know, a growing number of conservative political action groups are targeting their efforts closer to home. And that means those local school boards. That means our libraries. Our libraries are being forced to push out the truth. They're being required, you know, librarians, a lot of people don't know, librarians are required to have a master's degree at least. They have a very special role in determining what information our communities deserve. And we are chipping away at that because the machine needs to chip away at the truth. Thank you again, Rose, for calling. Good morning, caller. What is your name? Where are you calling from? I hear you now. If we could just get you a little bit stronger.
Yeah, this is
who am I speaking with?
Brooklyn.
Thank you so much for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. I've been with a group for 20 years talking about what has happened to Black folk. And I keep pushing the idea of, okay, we've been talking about it for 20 years. One of them was a school superintendent. Another one runs a family counseling agency that is more Afrocentric directed. And all I keep hearing is this fear that if we try to start something on a small scale, the system will come at us. And I'm saying we have to think of the Underground Railroad. Many are homeowners, so we could start little after-school programs in our homes so that we can start helping our children and talking to pastors to open up their buildings to have little after-school programs also, because many people may not be able to pay for private schools run by, you know, folk who are Afrocentric. But we have to be creative with this thing. Pastors, and I hope some of them are listening, this is the time to open up, not just on Saturdays or Sundays, but during the week, and make the sacrifice with some of that tithe and offering to pay
your... And that's real church. You are absolutely right. That is real church.
Okay, thank you very much.
Because, you know, I, coming from Michigan is my home state, and New York is and always will be my second home. But I went to Second Baptist Church as a child. And for those who don't know, Second Baptist is the oldest church in the state of Michigan. It is older than the state of Michigan. And it was also the transitional space for those who were enslaved to escape to Canada, which was literally maybe a 15-minute walking distance from the church downtown Detroit to this day. As a child, I used to give tours of the Underground Railroad in that church. And the church was designated to just prescribe this history, and we would go to the NAACP dinners, and I could care less about a Bible verse. But the education, the history that that church instilled in me clearly laid the foundation for who I am today. And you are so right that we have to continue to be innovative and find these spaces. You know, we have to remember to strike that service light and find those spaces to cultivate education and truth. And not just for us, but for mankind. If we're being very clear about this, that this is a humanity issue. This is not an African-American or Black issue. Thank you so much for calling. Good morning, caller. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Denise. Absolutely. This is a humanistic, this is a human thing. As Brother Baldwin said, that how do you expect us to be educated by the machine if they won't educate their own children by the machine? This is a case of rich supremacy as opposed to any other supremacy. And we have to keep that in mind at all times. But, of course, you have to take care of your family, your immediate community, and your immediate home. But if we work collectively, we're going to be able to resolve this. I'm glad that you're working with the answers now. The answers are in history. We've already found the answers. We just have to learn them, and we have to execute them. So, yes, you are definitely a program that's working with the answers. We already know the problem. We must study the answers and be able to execute them, and execute them well. I just want to say one more thing. I'm going to ask the listener to try to start to do a two-minute statement so more people can get on. And if you have a chance, please start to participate in the Community Advisory Board. It takes place the third Sunday of each month. All you have to look at is WBAI site to get the information on it. The community must protect WBAI. We must protect our community, and we must have a way to communicate with each other. WBAI is one of those tools. And support WBAI. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for those words and that contribution. It is very important, and I greatly appreciate it. Yes, and our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877. This is our We Day, and I'm inviting our community to have this discussion. And when I say our community, I mean the entire community, because this responsibility is certainly not all ours. And, you know, as as New Yorkers being called the melting pot, and I don't think that New York is a melting pot. I think it's a tossed salad with some dressing on it. And, you know, because we have our segments and we know that we do. But the one thing about us, you know, we've had instances in our histories that have united us. And if there were ever a time to demonstrate how unity works, New Yorkers can certainly lead that way. I know that we all can. And so, you know, I'm asking, why aren't other history classes being targeted? I'm asking, should we teach about racism in schools? Or unfortunately, do our kids already understand racism in schools? And to my non-melanated listeners who identify as white, what is your real concern or fear about the education of others who do not look like you? Because one thing is clear, you do know, while you may say that nothing is wrong, you do know you would not trade places with Black people in this country. And if you know that, then you know something is wrong. Here's another clip from James Baldwin at Berkeley University. Take a listen.
Since we are the survivors of it, since we have our children to raise, to save, I'm saying that to say a very brutal thing must be said. Must be said. The intentions of this melancholy country as concerns Black people, and anyone who doubts me can ask any Indian, have always been genocidal. They needed us for labor and for sport. Now, they can't get rid of us. We cannot be exiled, and we cannot be accommodated. Now, something's got to give. The machinery of this country operates day in and day out, hour by hour, until this hour, to keep the nigger in his place.
They needed us for labor and sport, and now they cannot get rid of us. But we are no good to ourselves if we do not have the education and the information we deserve and need to continue to thrive. Good morning, good people. We're going to continue to go to the phone lines. I ask that you be brief. Our phone lines are full, and I am thankful for that fullness. And I want to try and hear as many as possible in our last 6 minutes of the show. So I'm going to ask that you keep your statement to about 30 seconds. And again, I thank you in advance for listening and engaging today. Good morning, caller. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Joe Johnson from Harlem.
Thank you.
Well, first I wanted to respond to the Lady Rose. There was slavery in New Jersey. My family were direct descendants from it. It existed up until about 1804. Matter of fact, my folk were brought here from West Africa by a gentleman, a Quaker by the name of John Henchman, who owned about 800 slaves in southern New Jersey. So there was slavery in New Jersey. The other thing is, I just want to know, I think the question is, what is it about the nature and ability of Black folk that we instill such fear in white Americans, not only whites, but I think other people in general? And I think the issue was sort of somewhat touched with this whole outbreak with Kanye and Kyrie, et cetera, I think we're going through a woke situation, and I don't think that it can be controlled by man. I think it's just the will of God that there are going to be certain revelations, and we're just going to have to struggle through them. But it's like a ball rolling down a hill, and people are waking up for the first time ever. I saw this struggle in the 60s with the black power, black identity movement, and it never took hold. But it's sort of like a woman having a baby. It can't be stopped. When it's time for the baby to be born, it's born. It's here, and it's going to be in your face. And things are just going to get crazier if people don't accept the reality. God says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and that's just it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Johnson from Harlem. Good morning, caller. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, good morning. Rose from New York. Yes, people need to know their history. And even though I grew up thinking I knew a lot about slavery, when I learned not that long ago that there was slavery in New York, it put a whole new perspective on it. And not just that there was slavery, but that slavery that might have existed in one place benefited the whole industry because of fashion, cotton, there was the market and Wall Street. There's so much that we don't
know. What did you think that they traded on Wall Street originally, Rose? That was us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Who knows?
Yeah, that was the original Wall Street. They were trading human lives.
Disgusting. And we need to know that. And then one of the hosts on this program, on this station, has the nerve to talk about there's no such thing as white privilege. It doesn't mean it's anti-white, but
it takes privilege to be able to say that there is no privilege. It does. Rose, we're going to take one more call as we wrap up, but thank you so much for chiming in and listening. And you are so right that even in knowing our history, it is not just the history that began with enslavement. There is so much more history, thousands of years before the enslavement of Africans that we need to more concern ourselves with. Thank you. Good morning, caller. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is James, and I'm calling from Harlem.
Thanks, James.
Good morning, Frankie. I caught the tail end of your comment about whether we need to teach racism and in our schools. And I had a bit of a, at least for me, being from Ghana and moving here to the U.S., there is a bit of a chasm being sort of black, but not being African-American, specifically African-American. I kind of learned the importance of teaching the history of African-American history, especially to immigrants, because there's for a lot of immigrants, they arrive in the States kind of feeling or thinking that they are better than African-American people.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
even though they would not have arrived if it were not for our plight.
Exactly. And so if we say we're not going to teach this whole idea of divide and conquer, right? Black people thinking they're better than other black people is really laughable. But there's a reason for that. Because if you are living outside of the U.S., black people are, African-American people are portrayed in a very detrimental, derogatory way. And so when people arrive in this country, they are kind of thinking or feel like they're better than other black people who've been here, who have actually paved the way for them to even arrive at these shores. So yes, it is very, very important to educate everybody about the history of this country.
Thank you, James. I agree. We have to close out our show. I do want our listening audience to take a moment to look up the Stop Woke Act that Ron DeSantis has working to legislate the Stop Woke Act. This type of legislative manipulation, we must be mindful of, we must be aware of, we must be more engaged in our libraries, in our education school systems, and not let politicians, dangerous politicians like this, destroy what little humanity we have left. I want to thank you all for listening and engaging this morning. I knew I was speaking to the right people this morning. I thank you so much. And as Tina Turner would say, we don't need another hero. We just need to find our way home. I want you to have a beautiful Tuesday morning. Have a great week. Next week, we will discuss the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Frenchie Davis, this Tuesday and every Tuesday morning. May we all maintain the humanity in our lives and in this world. Thank you. Can't make the same mistake this time. We are the children, the last generation. We are the ones they left behind.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
I'm Celeste Katz Marston.
And I'm Jeff Simmons.
We host Driving Forces here on WBAI.
We bring you thoughtful conversations about what really matters to New Yorkers on politics and public policy.
And we make time to hear from you, our listeners, not just during the holidays, but all year round.
To keep these critical conversations on the air, we need your help.
From now until New Year's, we're building up our funds to pay rent on our broadcast tower at Four Times Square.
Go to towerfund.wbai.org today to help us keep free speech radio alive in the greatest city in the world. That's towerfund.wbai.org. WBAI is getting its financial house in order. Help us keep our signal as strong and as clear as our commitment to bringing you the best in news, music, and culture.
Give to WBAI this holiday season.